in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it.
Are they gonna have to stop handing out silverware on flights? I sent you guys this story the other day, and I wrote in our text chat, WTF. Because, of course, you know, I was getting on a plane yesterday, a couple planes yesterday. Flight diverted after passenger allegedly stabs two teens with a metal fork. Are people okay?
No.
Were they being jerks?
Wait a minute. Are you saying that it's justified to stab someone with a fork?
You know, I just like to get the full story.
That's true. It depends upon the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Were you defending yourself?
I don't think that was the case. No, I think it was more. I don't think people can handle stress. I don't think people can handle conflict. I don't think people can handle like those sort of like combustible situations anymore. So you just sort of with a fork. You know, again, not justifying it at all. In fact, I'm upset that I saw this the day before I flew to Salt Lake City yesterday because, you know, I already have flight anxiety. This doesn't help.
Well, yeah, but I mean, a flight to, but you're not getting metal forks on. I mean, that's like an international flight, right?
International flights, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, next time I fly internationally, I'll be concerned about getting forked in the neck.
But once you get in a metal fork, I'm trying to think, because last year I went to Scotland last year, and I don't think we got metal cutlery. I feel like it was plastic.
Maybe.
I'm wrong.
I just went to Europe.
Did you get metal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get glass.
And you get glass, yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Chewy's picturing somebody cracking the wine glass on their hip and going, you want some of this?
Plastic and styrofoam.
Every time I fly, I'm like, can I have an incident, please? Because I want to try my cop moves out.
What do you mean?
Because my brother was a cop, so I'm kind of a cop by proxy. I got a couple moves that just... It's over.
What do you need moves for? You're bigger than anybody you'd be in a conflict with.
That's a good point.
And stronger.
Yeah, but I want to try them out. Well, I'll tell you what. My kid took Taekwondo.
Yeah.
My oldest took Taekwondo. He was about 11. And they taught him this move, and I didn't believe him. It was a chokehold. And he put it on me. I almost passed out. I was blown. I was kind of mad at him and proud of him at the same time. And I told him you can only use this in certain situations. And then there's a wrist move that the cops use. It's over. Forget it. You go right to your knees.
Why were you suspicious that a chokehold wouldn't work?
Especially taught by, you know, it's not like he was like, oh, I was watching professional wrestling I learned this chokehold. No, he learned
Steven
it.
Seagal in that, whatever that martial art you put.
Yeah, really, but I didn't believe
him. Josh, really any of them.
I just didn't believe that you could... debilitate someone that quickly by a chokehold, especially an 11-year-old.
I feel like big chokehold has been pretty good about getting that word out. No?
That they work?
Yeah. Right?
Well, also,
but
like...
it's a chokehold that, it's not like it has to last 30 seconds. This debilitates you in about 2 seconds.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's good to know.
And your arms just drop, and you're like, I'm like, what in the hell?
Well, Chewy, you would have loved my flight last night then, because I'm flying from Salt Lake City to Milwaukee, and the lady behind me was yelling at her husband for the last 15 minutes of the flight. And I do mean yelling. We're not talking about hushed tones here, right? We've all been in a situation where conflict arises in a public place, but you have the decency to be like, I don't want to talk about this right now. Can we discuss this later, please? You're driving, you know, whatever. It's low tone. Yeah. So that this lady was full throated, man. She was full voice.
Why? What was the?
She dropped her phone. He didn't know where it was. There was this whole back and forth. And then she's like, you're such an a-hole. You're such an a-hole. Why do I travel with you? I hate traveling with you. This is the worst plane I've ever been on. I was like,
so
ma'am.
She was from New York?
I don't know. It was just more fun to do a New York accent.
Yeah. I think wives are more inclined to yell at their husbands. Husbands just sit there and take it. They just do, right?
I don't know that's a universal thing.
See, I don't yell. I'm not going to win, so why waste the energy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You read the scouting report, did you?
Yeah. You just
know your personnel, Jen. You got to know your personnel.
But I bet it made the flight go quicker.
No, it was annoying. And let me tell you this, speaking of annoying, last night people on my flight were big mad. You have any idea why they were big mad last night? Flight from Salt Lake City to Milwaukee. Any ideas?
Dodgers lost?
Well, you're close. Something was lost, and it had to do with the Dodgers. Gabe, got any guesses?
Well, if that it's that, to me, the TVs aren't working.
TVs aren't working, man. It's such a first world problem at this point, right? Like, TVs are going in and out. They're glitching. They're pausing. They're stopping. You're getting the wheel of death, and people are like grumbling. And it's one of those things where, like, when one person starts grumbling, then another person starts grumbling.
Oh, misery loves company.
Flight attendants on this flight, man, they were doing their dangdest to get the internet working, to get the TVs working. I kept hearing them say, they want to watch the World Series. The World Series is on. They want to watch the Dodgers game. I don't know. I can't get it to work. Me, I'm working. I got to write. So I'm like, oh, sucks to be you.
Well, it's probably Spectrum.
I don't.
Why are we taking out Spectrum? What did they do now? Did I miss something while I was gone?
Well, he's got Spectrum down there, but not for long, because that's why the internet was out the other day, and he couldn't get it to work, because they have Spectrum, but he's getting rid of Spectrum. He's getting a fiber optic line.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but it sounds lush.
You know what it means is there's no more playing hooky and saying my internet isn't working.
Oh.
That is a good connection, a strong connection.
Reliable connection, if you will.
Will not be dropping.
And unless you dig it up and snip it.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble thinking things through this week, aren't I, Josh?
Yeah. Well, he was just excited to brag about the fiber optic line.
It's gonna be great.
Not realizing what that actually meant. I've got fiber optic. What do you have? Is that what you do? You're going to go around to your neighbors bragging about your fiber optic?
Well, here's the problem. They dug my lawn up in the summertime when I wasn't here, and when they come back, they fix it like crap. So when I got here, I had to dig up all the turf and redo it. Mm. So I was mad, but we'll see how this works out.
Yeah, you don't mess with Chewy's lawn.
Yeah.
Okay, you were mad, but you were kind of excited to do it.
To switch?
No.
Oh, to fix the grass?
Yeah. Like, you were mad that somebody messed it up, but you were kind of excited that you got to fix it.
A little bit.
Also, let me ask you this. Bragging about your fiber optic, that's like one click away from being in those Progressive commercials, right?
Oh, that Angie says that's me every time one comes on. And there was a new one last night. And you know what? It's kind of true. I mean, half of them are true when it comes to me.
Do you actually lean over in the booth and tell the people what they should order? Because that was a funny one
to me. No, here's the problem. I can't get rid of the lawn gnomes and things like that. The lawn trash?
Uh-huh. The lawn gnomes?
Yeah. Angie calls it lawn trash. You know, I put the wind things up. She's like, oh, my God. You're so 1990.
Wait, paint a picture for me. What are we talking about here? How many lawn things do you have?
I got a lot.
How many is a lot? Like, are we talking six?
Okay, at the one.
Can you count them on your two hands?
This many.
I got one, two, three. I mean, putting the frogs out on the lawn, that's kind of progressive, right?
You got frogs?
You have frogs on your lawn?
Yeah.
Maybe it's an ode to something else.
I got eight, I think, at one.
Seems like a lot, Chew. Wait, so you're putting things out on your lawn that you then have to move when you mow the lawn?
No, not on the lawn, like in the
landscaping.
Rocks
okay. The rocks.
Yeah, in the landscaping.
The mulch.
Why, you guys don't do that?
I didn't know you were an old grandma.
I need, like, a mentor or something.
What would that mentor be responsible for, just out of curiosity?
See, here's the thing. The kids tell me it's good, knowing that it's bad.
Yeah, they just want
to torture me.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that exactly what Dr. Rick is, by the way? Isn't he supposed to be a mentor for people like you?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I do like, you said there's a new commercial. I do like the one where the guy grabs the coffee and he's like, oh, Jan, it's for Jan.
Might be Jan.
He's like, you don't work here. It is funny that that's you, though, big guy.
Yes, that is me. My problem, my mentor is the Blammer, and he's got lawn gnomes, too, so that's fine.
I mean, you shouldn't be walking around going WWBD. What would the Blammer do? If you are thinking this is something the Blammer might do, you, my friend, should do the opposite. That's the type of mentor the Blammer should be for you.
Yeah. Blammer's walking
around.
Zagging.
Blammer's walking around wearing those neon t-shirts. I don't see you walking around in a neon t-shirt.
He has, though. He has shown up with some bright neon t-shirts before.
But he's got multicolors. It's not like a cartoon character. He just keeps showing up with the same t-shirt every day.
Can you age out of needing a mentor?
I think you become the mentor.
Well, maybe not.
If you're doing it correctly, you eventually become the mentor.
Yeah.
If you do it correctly.
When does Chewie run out of distance of needing a mentor? When does he stop being the mentee?
Never, because he's never going to grow up.
Okay.
But mentor is different than spouse, right? Because you could argue that, like, at times your spouse can act as your mentor. You know, like, you're going through something at work. You call up your spouse, like, hey, this is going on. You know, how should I handle it? You know, I'm all fired up. Like, that's not a mentor. That's just a partner,
yeah,
right?
That's just a partner. Because, obviously, Angie, in this situation, has tried to talk Chewie out of the lawn ornaments. Or, again, as she calls it, lawn trash.
Yes.
And he is standing firm. This is, for whatever reason, it is the only time he has decided to stand up to his wife. And it is for garden gnomes?
You're the defender of the gnomes? What are you, the Lorax over here? Like, what do we got going on, Chew?
See, now her new thing is she gives me a list every week of things to do, but it's gotten so ridiculous, you know, because she just searches for things. Like, I got one little dead leaf on a cactus plant, right? Do you think that needs to be put on the list? It's on the list.
What, trim the dead leaf
trim
off the cactus?
Yes, that's exactly how it is.
Let's talk about this for a moment, because I think you bring up a really interesting point, Chew. Yes. How do y'all feel just generally about honey-do lists?
I like them.
You do?
Yes.
I think you might be in the minority, Joshy.
I like knowing, I forget. You say something to me, I forget, especially if I'm doing something else. I also like the idea of completion of a list or tasks.
Mm.
Like there's something
because then that way you're not doing something thinking you're done and by the way.
Yes, correct.
Also have to do this.
I know what's in front of me and then I can spread them out when I see fit as long as they're done by like a reasonable time.
Because there is a light in our shower that has been out for months and I have mentioned it, I'd say 3 times at least.
Yep.
And it's still dead. Uh-huh. And like, I don't know how to handle it now, right? Like, I don't know if I should be like, hey.
With a stepladder yourself. I think that's how you handle it now, yeah. Jen. That seems like
exactly what he's hoping for.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll get so frustrated that it hasn't been done that I'll just do it myself and take it off of his plate.
I had a similar situation with, we were cleaning because we were hosting for Thanksgiving. And I was in the bathroom, like doing the standard, clean the toilet, clean the sink, wipe down the mirror. Mm-hmm. And the shower head filter got mentioned. And I looked and I was like, I mean, of all things, there's like a list here. This does it. And then I didn't do it for like 3 months.
The shower head filter doesn't need to be installed for the people coming
over
for Friendsgiving.
Right.
That's just not important.
So I said, can you just put it on a list? But she didn't at first. So then 2 months later, it still hadn't been replaced. And she said, well, I told you to do it. And I said, my mind was a few places at the time. I was concerned.
Josh, you take the thing out and throw it away. That's what's the low flow. If you take that filter out, you'll get more water pumping through there, and then you don't have the low flow.
Yeah, but then you're not getting your water filtered, and I'm pretty sure that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Water.
We don't have a water pressure issue. I can assure you of that.
You don't?
I will tell you this. The other day, I'm cleaning the stove. My daughters are home from school. They were home Thursday, Friday, and Monday. Wow, fall break. And my daughter looks at me and says, is someone coming over? And I said, what are you talking about? She goes, well, you're cleaning the stove. And I was like, yeah, and? Well, we usually only clean when people come over. I said, that is not true. I am cleaning all the time. You're just at school, so you don't see it. But she had this in her mind that that's the only time we clean the house. What do you think? 800-990-3776. Are you pro honey-do list, or are you against the honey-do list? Would you rather just aimlessly walk around, gentlemen, and try to guess what needs to be done around the house? I feel like Gabe would be pretty good at that, though, right? Like, you're pretty responsible.
Gabe's not good. No, take that back. He's horrible.
What?
You are horrible. You can't even.
Can't
I
even
walked
what?
You through your little piece of grass last year.
Yeah.
And you wind up putting in turf?
Well, okay. I don't know.
Sounds like a work smarter, not harder to me, but continue.
So, first of all, it's not turf. Second of all, so we. We do not have a lawn. A lot of the houses in our area, instead, they have a lawn. Instead, we have a garage, so we've got the driveway that goes back to the garage. So we had, as covered on this show, a very small patch of grass that I got the handheld mower for. My wife decided she didn't want that patch to exist anymore, so we put in a stone patio.
I think
went to Menards, did the whole thing ourselves, dug up the hole.
No.
What's Gabe's do with
path of least resistance? Gabe, you got a little path
Facebook
of least resistance.
Well, look, if my wife goes, hey, I want a stone patio back there. Like, if your wife's told you you wanted a stone patio somewhere, guess what you're doing, pal?
Stone patio.
Stone patio.
You think so?
Based on everything that I have known about you and your relationship with your wife over the last dozen years I've known you, yes, I am saying that when your wife asks, you do it. So she wanted the stone patio. I'm like, all right,
okay.
If you
I
tell me,
back.
I told her, just tell me what to do. Whatever you want done, I will do it. I just didn't want to do any of the research for it. So she took care of all
dogs,
the research.
Will dogs crap on stone?
He doesn't. I mean, it was such, our dog.
He wasn't using it.
Wasn't using it anyway. Like, I got to take him around the block so he can walk a little bit before he does his business. So
800-990-3776. Are we pro honey do list? Do you want your spouse or partner to write you a list of things that have to be done around the house? Or would you rather just aimlessly try to figure it out yourself? Let us know. We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. And we will continue talking the green and gold and all things Wisconsin sports right after this. But first, Potawatomi Sportsbook is the right place for you to watch a game. All international games and matches, guys, it opens early. So you can place your bets, kick back, enjoy the show on an absolutely enormous video wall. Then grab a cold one along with food from a menu packed with flavor. If you're not up for watching the game but still want in on the action, you can always wager on any sport anytime at the quick service kiosks at the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Bet above the rest at Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros, ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros. Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
Lots of reaction rolling in on the old honey-do list. Are you pro or against? And, I did have one earlier. Now, of course, it's jumped because people are weighing in. John in Milwaukee says, it doesn't matter if I like the concept of a honey-do list or I don't like it. There's always one there. So, Jason Wilde joining us this morning. Jason, do you guys have like a to-do list in your house of things that your wife expects you to get taken care of?
No, we don't function quite that way. It's more collaborative. What do we have to get done today kind of a thing. So, There are no assigned tasks, largely because, you know, most of the things that need to get done around here, I'm not that good at. So it works out well for me.
Are you are you always the one walking the dog, though? Seems like you're always
the
dog.
I am. I'm definitely the dog walker. So we all have our roles. You know, I'm good at that. I don't know who's going to walk them when we're in England with Colette Vacations, but it'll be I'm a little nervous about that. You got 10 days that you're available? Do a little dog sitting, Chew?
He wasn't asking me.
Not asking Gabe.
Well, Gabe's up there a lot. He's got to go.
Not in July.
Games.
Yeah, no. It's going to be a struggle.
I feel like it's responsible of me to mention that Chewy doesn't like dogs, so that might.
He's hit or miss. Sometimes he does. Sometimes
aware.
He doesn't.
That's why I threw it out there. I thought maybe he'd come around. Maybe if he met our dogs and our several cats, that, you know, maybe he'd change his opinion. But that's probably unlikely. All right. What do we got?
Jason, has LaFleur and Goody done enough to be secretly negotiating an extension?
Interesting question. I don't know enough about what Ed Policy's policy is, right? We know he doesn't like lame ducks. Mm-hmm. And he also doesn't like people in the last year of their contracts. So it's a great question. I wish I had an answer. I still think what matters is what you do in the postseason. So, yeah, whoop-de-doo, you're 5-1-1. That's awesome. You bounced back from two subpar performances with three, I would argue, pretty good showings. Three wins in a row. Should be four on Sunday. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but, like, if they do all these great things and then they punch out in the first round of the playoffs, you know, I'm probably giving them the one-year extension so they're not lame ducks. And I think Jason, that's likely what Ed would do.
Isn't it like a player, though, where if LaFleur and Goody do wind up winning the Super Bowl, it's going to cost them a lot more money as opposed to if they do it before then? Or no? Or do they care because it doesn't affect the cap?
It does not affect the cap, and I'm sure they would be more than happy to pay a premium price tag if they got that 14th championship. So I don't know. Maybe I could. This is complete conjecture. I have no idea if Ed Policy is sitting there going, okay, we're seven games in. I love what I've seen. Let's get something done. But again, I just, like, what is it? The real question to me is, what does it matter if you end up, you know, 13-3-1? But the Lions finish 14-3, mm-hmm. and you don't win the division. You go on the road for a playoff game, and you get beat. Like, then how do you view the season, right? If you're, I'm not talking about us or fans, but as if you're Ed, how do you view the season? Like, I would think that that would be enough to say, hey, all right, what you guys did this season, you know, Goody, you went out there and you got us Micah Parsons when I was, you know, I don't want to say Ed was pushing for it, but maybe he was. You know, you went and made a bold move. It paid off. Didn't go the way we wanted in the postseason, but I feel really good about you guys and you leading our franchise, and let's get a four-year extension done. But again, I don't know where his head is at, and I haven't talked to Ed about it, and he's certainly not going to tip his hand. So it's a great question. I just wish I had a better answer.
All right, if we're going to talk about extensions, keep talking about extensions, because there are a couple of players who are set to be free agents at the end of the year. One of them, Quay Walker, and he's just an interesting case to me, Jason, because they said they wanted to get him an extension. They haven't gotten him an extension. He is a captain, so obviously respected by his teammates. It doesn't seem like you, at some point you have to make tough decisions on some players, but at the same time, seems like the Lions are just signing everybody and anyone they want after the Aiden Hutchinson extension and all the guys they have under big contracts. Has Quay Walker done enough to get that extension, or are the Packers going to let him walk at the end of the season?
Well, there's an offer on the table. There was I can't remember if it was a month ago or 6 weeks ago that I talked to him, and he said it on the record, and he basically said that, you know, he's the reason why it hasn't gotten done. He hasn't signed it. And I would say that, you know, that means he probably wanted a little bit more money or a little more of the money guaranteed, whatever it might have been. And when you're playing like he is, which, you know, you've got Jeff Hafley out there saying he's playing at an elite level. Now, Jeff Hafley also delivered that long soliloquy about Nate Hobbs, and then they benched him after he did it. But I think he was being sincere about what they feel about what Quay Walker has done. So, you know, he said that he was the one who was holding it up, that the offer was there. So if that's the case, I would think that maybe they went back to the negotiating table and tweaked some of the numbers. And I still think he'll be the next one to get a deal done because the guy flat out said there was something on the table. So I don't know what exactly the offer is versus what he wants, but Goody did say that even though they didn't give him the 50-year option, that they wanted him on the team beyond 2026. So all that stuff lines up. It's just a matter of finding the right number.
Jason, what would the 5th-year option have been?
Too high. Because it factors in edge rushers. So even though he's an inside linebacker, the number was inflated and the Packers did not want to do that for a 1 year. I think it was like 14 or 15, mm-hmm. if I remember right, which, you know, again, you don't have to do that, right? Like you can make the fifth year option offer and then you can, you know, sign him to an extension and factor it in. So I guess I'm not quite clear on if you like the guy, you like the guy, right? Mm-hmm. But I think he has probably affirmed what they were feeling about him. So I would think something will get done here. I don't have a timeline for it, but again, it's very rare for guys to tell you that there's a extension offer on the table. Like the fact that Quay said that, that's what I'm operating on.
$14.75 million fully guaranteed.
Hey, it's like I know what I'm talking about sometimes.
Jason, yesterday Matt LaFleur was asked if he thought that this game against the Panthers was a trap game. Here's what he had to say.
I'm not worried about it. Like, we've got enough to worry about just within ourselves and a lot of growth in front of us if we want to play our best football. We should only be worried about today and this game and nothing else outside of that.
Sandwich between the Steelers and the Eagles, of course. Is this a classic trap game for a top-tier team?
Yes. Right? Like I don't know. You look up trap game in a dictionary, and you got a picture of Matt LaFleur's face between Aaron Rodgers on one side and the defending Super Bowl champs on the other. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to treat it that way, but the question is not out of bounds, right? Like, you're coming off a euphoric win over, even though you downplayed it, you beat the previous quarterback. Your quarterback played great. And then you got not only is it the Eagles, but it's the Eagles on Monday Night Football at home. Like, if there was it's the trappiest trap game that ever been trapped. So, I'm not saying that they're going to play like that, but I don't remember who asked it. But that I thought that was a very fair question. And, you know, for a guy that had to scold Rashid Walker for suggesting they could go undefeated, for a guy that is now drilling into their skulls the 1-0 every week mantra, of course he's going to claim it's not a trap game. But guess what? It's his job to make sure that they don't treat it like one, right? Isn't that the whole idea?
Yeah.
So it is certainly trappy.
Von Trapp. You got one more,
Jason,
too?
Von Miller.
One more. Chances they do something at the trade deadline, either get rid of someone, Ingabari or Wicks, or pick up a corner. What's your gut tell you?
Yeah, there's been a couple of teams now that have acquired corners, so I don't know how many more are out there. There's a guy with the Saints that I know was on Matt Bowen's list on ESPN.com. But yeah, I personally think they need more corner depth because you never know what's around the corner, no pun intended. And Nate Hobbs did not play well. And I give him credit for talking yesterday. And maybe he'll bounce back just fine, but he did not play well in Arizona, and obviously the coaches agreed with that. I talked to JJ, which, again, one of the weirdest nicknames. The guy's name is Kingsley, but he watched JJ the Jet Plane growing up, so that's why he's JJ. I think he probably wants to be traded, right? Like, his aunt, he never flat out said that, but, like, look what he's done. Like, he's played really well in limited snaps. Like, if I'm him, I want to go somewhere where they want me to be on the field more. And he was on the field a ton last year, and then they go out and get Micah Parsons. So I think, you know, we talk about that cliche all the time of control what you can control. And, you know, you just don't count the reps. Make the reps count. He's done that. And whether or not the Packers, he's in the last year of his deal, but I would think that if they could get something for him, he would welcome it. Now, I, of course, would argue that if you think you have a Super Bowl team and you don't know what injuries could be lurking, I'm not trading away any of my assets. even if I want to get more draft picks because I gave up two first rounders for Micah Parsons. Like, I'm just, I would be leery of that. I would rather have Enagbare go out and sign a good money contract in free agency and take whatever the compensatory pick is, as opposed to trading him. And then he already got Lucas Van Ness with a foot injury. And then, I don't know, something happens to Rashawn Gary, or, you know, Lucas Van Ness's foot doesn't heal and he ends up having surgery. Like, I would not want to give away an asset like that, even if it got me a sixth round pick. That does not help me win the Super Bowl and get my extension this year.
Jason, what's the deal with Marshawn Lloyd?
What's the deal? Why don't they call it round team? Yeah, I don't know. So it's funny because, and I didn't know Pete Doherty was going to ask about it yesterday. So I was looking something up during our show with Brian Belaga in, and he's listed under a category that says injured reserve designated to return. And I was like, I texted Wes and a few others that are in our little group chat, and I said, did I miss them announcing that he was designated to return? And Wes said, no, that's the category they put him in right away. If you remember correctly, you know, you could put two guys on the IR with the designation to return right away at the cutdown time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of them. Jacob Monk was the other. So he hasn't officially been designated to return, which is weird. And then LaFleur, I mean, his answer was basically like six words. No, not anytime soon. So I don't know. I don't know how severe the hamstring is, and we're not allowed to interview players who are on injured reserve. So unless Marshawn Lloyd bumps into me at Chipotle, which would be a bad sign for him because the last guy that did it ended up getting cut the other day, I'm not going to have an answer for you on that. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's a hamstring, which he went down to Badger Athletic Performance at UW, and that fixed Watson's issues. It fixed Eric Stokes' issues. This happened, what, 8 weeks ago, 9 weeks ago now in training camp? So it's a great question, and for like the sixth time in this segment, I have to admit I don't know.
Jason, we still appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for joining the show, even though you didn't really tell us much of anything useful. Great job today. Take it in. Shower up. Yeah, I'm glad I could help. Hey. All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Something exciting is happening at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. On the second floor, you'll find the studio, kitchen, and cocktails. That's right. It's a new spot with new energy. You can go there for breakfast. You can go there for dinner. Or you can linger late into the evening with drinks designed to inspire. Flavor and beverages for every mood. The studio is the perfect place to gather, celebrate, and connect. Be boldly social at the studio. It is now on the second floor at St. Kate, the Arts Hotel.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presence out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Win big this October at Potawatomi. You could play Bird Bash for $50,000 in cash. Just play with your Potawatomi rewards card for entries. Prize drawings are on Thursdays. Plus, your play earns you a shot at $300,000. That, of course, is the December season finale. It's Bird Bash only at Potawatomi Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. For more details, visit potawatomi.com/birdbash. Speaking of our friends over at Potawatomi, the Green Bay Packers are 13.5-point favorites against the Carolina Panthers this weekend at Lambeau Field. And we talked earlier with Jason Wilde about the trap game concept. If you take a little gander over to the old Google machine, it says that a trap game is basically a game where a heavily favored team is likely to be upset by a weaker opponent due to overlooking their opponent or being mentally fatigued from the games around it. Chewy, we've talked to you about this. Is there any chance, again, 13.5-point favorites, man, is there any chance that the Packers sort of stumble out of the gate, play down to their competition, and we're in a dogfight here at Lambeau this weekend?
Yes. I mean, what was the line against Cleveland? Was that a trap game? They came off of two impressive wins at home where a lot of people were crowning them, and they wind up losing that game. Was that considered a trap? I guess that's a trap game, right?
You tell me. You're the king of trap games. You're the one who was just talking about it nonstop last year.
Well, and we also trust your judgment having been in that locker room and knowing what happens from a letdown standpoint with the Steelers game and all of the emotion and the narratives that surrounded that one. And then, of course, having to face the Eagles in Monday Night Football at Lambeau Field on November 10th.
Just for the record, Chu, the Packers were 7.5-point favorites against the Browns in Cleveland.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Is there a difference between a trap game and a letdown game? Because I think there is.
What's the difference?
I think the front side is a trap game when you have an opponent like the Eagles coming up the week after. You look past, you know, Carolina. That's a trap game. And then a letdown game would be you beat the Eagles in a hard-fought game, winning overtime by a field goal, and then you lose to the Giants the following week. I see them as two different things.
So what you're telling me is because of that Eagles game in the middle of the schedule, they're set up for a trap game this week and a letdown game against the Giants the following week.
It could be either or.
Well, why not both?
That won't happen. That.
Well, this could be a trap game. Then they beat the Eagles, and then you have the letdown game.
I don't think so. You only get one. You got to pick one.
You tell me. You're the one who's come up with all the concepts.
I just don't see that. I see one of the two happening, but not both. Because you kind of learn your lesson. You learn your lesson from the trap game, and the letdown game is too late. I wonder who Gabe, and I hate putting all this research on you, but I wonder who we played the week before we went into Indianapolis, and who was horrible. They were like 2-13, and we wound up losing that game. We were probably 14-point favorites. And then we lose that game, and I remember a couple weeks ago I said I guarantee we blew out the team the next week, which we did. But I wonder who did we play before the Indy game in 97?
You played St. Louis.
And worked them?
17-7.
That's not a work game.
Doesn't feel like a work.
No, I don't remember that game at all. Was that home or away?
I was at home.
Wow. Did I play?
I'm looking at the box score right now. I will tell you in a moment.
If it's bad, you don't have to tell us.
800-990-3776. Ron in the key weighing in.
Three catches, 45 yards.
Ron in the key weighing in saying, I didn't think there was a chance in hell Chewy was going to give a good explanation to describe the difference between a trap game and a letdown game, but bravo. I can't be the only one who thought that, though. So good on you, Chew. You're impressing Ron in the key this morning. I am looking at the Sports Illustrated preview between the Packers and the Panthers matchups, and it does go position by position, unit by unit, and it does give the advantage to the Panthers in a few places. Gabe, you have any idea where Sports Illustrated has given the Panthers the advantage over the Packers in the game this weekend?
Probably running game.
Running game is one of them. Ding, ding, ding. What a winner. And
after that, I'm not sure.
Special teams.
Yeah.
What is that? You just did dismissed. It's dismissed. Special teams, you're dismissed.
who's their back? Chuba Hubbard?
Well, he's one of them. Chuba. Yeah.
It's Rico Dowdle.
Rico
right
Dowdle.
Now.
Yeah. Rico Dowdle is.
Dowdle is one of those words that does, like, you gotta really do some gymnastics with the tongue to get Rico Dowdle out.
Yeah.
I just call him Rico Suave. Go Suave.
You've never said Rico Dowdle's name in your life or thought about him.
He still hasn't said it.
He just heard the name Rico.
Yes.
And he thought this is a good time to pop off the Rico Suave joke.
Did he go to Hawaii?
Rico Dowdle?
Yeah.
No.
Where'd he go?
South Carolina.
That's close.
Yeah.
Just
geographically, especially.
Geographically, I don't know if you could have been more wrong.
How many American universities are further away from Hawaii than South Carolina?
Where you can play major college football.
It can't be many.
It's got to be like Penn State, right? Because you got Penn State, angle versus BC, the straight line. Yeah. It's got to be up in that region of the country. This Sports Illustrated article does give the advantage to the Packers in a number of categories. But to your point, Gabe, it is concerned about the run game. And it is concerned about special teams. And we talked about special teams a little bit. Would you be surprised if Havrasik was active this weekend?
I wouldn't be, but that's just because, well, I guess they don't even kick on Wednesday, so it's tough to know with the injury designation that they gave Brandon McManus yesterday. I don't know. It's just hard to say. If he was cleared medically, and look, he just missed the long kick. That happens. He pulled the other one. I can't imagine that Lucas Havrasik is active if they feel McManus can go again.
What does it tell you, though? What does it tell you if Hobbs plays another four plays? I would have to think they're off.
Valentine's playing
well? Four plays, though? I would think, wow.
And we also thought that maybe there was a chance that a few were negated by penalty, so maybe he played six, but I don't know. Again, you said that the official count was four.
So the official count on the sheet from the NFL was four. Played four snaps on defense yesterday.
Because if you're going to play him to get him confidence, this is the team you want to put. You don't want to throw
But Chewy, that mindset to me, that's how you set up a trap game. Oh, this team's not very good, so let's try to get the lesser players. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to treat this game like it is the Eagles, because that's how you avoid the trap game. Not like, we're going to dominate them, so let's see if we can get our run game right this week. I think you have to, again, you game plan and try to play to your strengths, try to play to their weaknesses. But if you go into the game thinking, oh, this is a lesser than team because we're favored by 13.5, let's get some playing time for some guys. I think you're hoping to get some playing time for Hobbs late because you're up a bunch, and that way you can get him more playing time to work on whatever he's working on. But I don't think you can go, oh, it's the Panthers, let's put him in the second drive.
No, I know, but a player like that who was considered a big free agent and he plays another four plays, that goes south. Then those kind of guys pout, and then they start complaining.
Then he pouts, Chew. Like,
well, I'm just saying.
I'm not going to play someone just because they might pout, right? Like, isn't that what they basically did last year with Romeo Doubs? Oh, he might pout. We got to make sure he gets his targets. Like, be a grown-up. Be professional.
Sometimes they can't, Gabe.
But I'm not going to put my team down the line. Yeah, but I'm not going to put my team in an advantageous spot just because you might be sad because you didn't play after the game. Like, you can't run teams like that. You can't operate that, oh, you might pout, so I got to make sure I get you the ball. Like, this is professional football, man.
I know, but I played with guys like that that think they're better, and they're not, that think they're better than the guy in front of them. Well, and then when it's time to call upon that player, he kind of plays like he's pouty. I don't want to name names, but...
I mean... It's 30 years. I think the statute of limitations is
expired. If you just lay out long enough, he will cave. He'll drop a name. One other thing I want to note before we move on here from that Sports Illustrated preview on the Panthers and Packers. Panthers rush offense versus Packers rush defense, they give it a push. And I know Chewy mentioned a few moments ago the running backs that the Panthers will be trotting out there in Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard. But push? For the Packers' run defense, guys, it's another thing that might raise some eyebrows as you think about that matchup. What were you going to say, Joshy?
I believe the Carolina offensive line has three guys that are either questionable or unlikely to play. So that obviously is going to make a difference. And I also have a special game show that we're going to play right now. I want everybody to name the university they think is furthest away from Hawaii. I got stats. I got numbers here. Thanks to ChatGPT.
Like, okay, so
FCS
this,
or FBS?
Gotta be
so like
Division
they have to have college. Like, well, they have to have college, major college football, right?
Yes, I said a major Division One program.
So not like
program.
The University of Maine.
Dang right. It, because that's what I would have said. If
that's where I was going to. Yeah, but UNH. BU,
but they
Northeastern.
Have, okay, major college football.
All right, I'm ready. Here, I got one. I'll start it off. University of Connecticut.
It is not like in the top 10 here.
Ooh.
Rutgers.
Well, they overlooked that. They're FBS now. They used to be FCS. They're FBS now.
Rutgers.
Is Rutgers on the list?
Yeah.
They are third.
Whoa. All right, so we're going north.
So Rutgers.
Okay, the one is a layup. Come
BC?
On.
BC is the number one major football university. And last one here, we'll play Price is Right Rules. South Carolina has appeared on this list, as we all could have probably guessed. What position are they I asked for a list of top 40. South Carolina is the blank furthest away. Are they the 8th, the 5th, 14th?
Ooh, okay. So
the
29th? We know it's in the top 40. I will say it is the 23rd. Farthest away from Hawaii.
Can't be. For FBS?
17.
11.
Jen is the winner. South Carolina is the 18th.
Whoa!
Ah,
for this program away.
I was hoping Chewy would guess first so that I could go $1, Bob. But I still won. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. A wild scene happening in Louisiana. If you think it's bad here in Wisconsin, ooh, doggy, do they have us beat.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, you already know what I'm going to say. Only place you need to go, it's the Jewelry Center. The helpful team that Dean Dean the Dancing Machine has put together over there is always going to point you in the right direction. Whether you have an idea, you just want to peruse the great selection they have in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or if you don't, go to our Pinterest page. See if there's anything there. Bring that in, and that helpful team at the Jewelry Center is always going to make sure that dream ring comes to life. Whether you're looking for a naturally mined diamond, a lab-grown diamond, the Jewelry Center has you covered. Again, check them out. Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, online at shoptjc.com. And when you go to the Jewelry Center, tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, if you find yourself struggling, if things have gotten overwhelming for you, you just don't feel as joyful as you used to, BetterHelp can help. I've been doing therapy for the last 15 years. Man, has it allowed me to navigate the challenges of life so much better. And if you think it might work for you, now is the time because our listeners get 10% off their first month. All you have to do is do pound. You don't really call pound, you press pound. So you press pound 250 and say the keyword timeout. That'll get you 10% off your first month. That's keyword timeout after dialing pound 250 on your phone. Because you know what? We are all better with help. You know who could use a little help, gang? The fine folks down at LSU. Obviously, this past weekend, they fired Brian Kelly. And now, it appears as though the Louisiana government wants to get involved with the next coaching hire. Governor Jeff Landry announced that LSU AD Scott Woodward cannot, will not, should not hire the next football coach after the costly buyout of Brian Kelly. Now, it doesn't exist in a vacuum. There are other things that are contributing to this as well. But what a wild power move in college sports. Gabe, can you imagine if Governor Evers was like, I don't like Fickle's how things out. Are going over there at Wisconsin. Fickle's out, and I'm not going to let Chris McIntosh make the next hire. He's proven he can't handle the responsibility.
Well, that's the crazy part, again, because by all reporting, it seemed like the AD and Scott Woodward was not responsible for firing him. It was some boosters and obviously the governor involved. And the reason why the governor is involved is because right now the university does not have a president. So being a public university, that's why the governor is involved. But he held a press conference yesterday. He held a press conference. And it was just wild. Just wild to listen to, Joshy.
Who's that? Scott Woodward. No. I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting the next coach. Hell, I'll let Donald Trump select it before I let him do it. I don't know, but the Board of Supervisors is going to come up with a committee, and they're going to go find us a coach.
Wait, I want you to play that again just so I can hear his Louisiana accent.
That Bayou accent.
I can tell you right now, Scott Woodward is not selecting the next coach. Hell, I'll let Donald Trump select it before I let him do it. I don't know, but the Board of Supervisors is going to come up with a committee, and they're going to go find us a coach.
Why not fire the guy? why, like, if you're not going to let him do his job, why don't you fire him?
It's the dumb thing is, this is the dumbest thing, is like Fickle, there would have been a ton of colleges that would have loved to hire Brian Kelly away from Notre Dame. Okay? Now it doesn't go right in hindsight's 2020. I mean, that's so stupid. It's not like they hired Skeeter Lutz. These are highly qualified coaches that have won football games, Look, it didn't work out. But no one can say, oh, Brian Kelly to LSU, what a stupid move. That's just dumb.
No, of course. Of course. But
Fickle,
these buyouts,
the
too, are absolutely bananas, well, at this point.
You know what?
Right? I mean, they got to rein it in there. As they continue figuring out how to improve college football, at some point, somebody's going to have to be the domino that says, no more of these multi-million dollar buyouts. Because you know what? Our buddy Evan Cohen said it the other day on the radio. All that money that you're paying Brian Kelly to go away, you could be spending on upgrading your facilities, building your roster, buying a quarterback. You know, some of these things that actually contribute to the haves versus the have-nots.
But how are they going to actually, because they had to give Brian Kelly that contract in order to get him away from Notre Dame. Because he was under contract at Notre Dame, and he resigned, yeah, and then went there because they gave him a boatload of money. That's the only way they make it worth it. Same thing. So if Lane Kiffin is going to be this hot coach and going to be the number one coach that people go at Ole Miss, and I heard the Louisiana governor talking about, you know, they want to change the way they do contracts. Peter Burns had a really good post from the SEC Network yesterday online about, hey, coaching contracts should probably be structured like this, where they're incentive laden. If you go, if X amount of wins get you X amount of dollars, win a national championship. And if you win a national championship, you get way more money than anybody's making right now. But the problem with that is that going to lure away? If you're the only place doing that, is that going to get you the big coaching name you're looking for? Probably not, because everybody else is still offering up big money. So somebody's got to blink in order for this to actually change, and I don't know who that is, because, again, Florida, LSU,
yeah,
they're looking at, oh, we got to go get this guy. Let's just look at what happened in the Big Ten. Penn State, they fire their coach. Indiana, within days, locks up Kurt Cignetti. The big name that was linked there was Matt Rhule. He just signed an extension, yes, a big extension yesterday that's got a big buyout in Nebraska.
Yeah,
so I don't know how that's going to change, even though it probably does need to.
But the reason, and I agree, these buyouts are crazy, but look at the television revenue. Stop crying poor, universities, for crying out loud. I'm sick of you crying poor. How many billions of dollars did they get from the networks for the college playoffs? I mean, it's billions and billions and billions of dollars.
You know what,
okay,
I kind of
so
wish,
so that money's got to go to somewhere.
I kind of wish that you could trade coaches. I kind of wish that LSU could go, listen, we've come to the end of the road here with Brian Kelly, but Penn State, I hear you got an opening. What yeah. will you give us for Brian Kelly? Oh, you got a couple defensive ends that you, oh, we'll take those. You know what I mean? I wish there was a way. I know that sounds, you know, there'd have to be a lot of like fettering out the details and whatnot, but I wish there was a way that these programs could go, look, we don't think Brian Kelly's a bad coach, but it's not working here. And you need a coach, and we need a couple. We need a quarterback. Who you got lined up there behind Drew Aller? Who you know what I mean? I wish there was some way that you could sort of trade these assets instead of just sinking all this money into asking them to go away.
You know what it is, too. I don't think the coaches have figured this out yet with NIL and the transfer portal in high school athletes. They just haven't figured it out because a lot of schools just recruit the transfer portal. They don't really spend a lot of time recruiting high school kids. And then there's other programs that grind it out and they recruit high school kids. I just don't think they've figured it out yet. I mean, because you sit there and go, like, how does Brian Kelly go from being so successful at Notre Dame to getting fired?
It seems like you put the investment in that and let the lower end schools do it, and then you take the good players and pay them.
Yeah.
It seems to be what they think is the best path forward.
And by all accounts, it seemed like Brian Kelly was putting in less and less work.
And Brian Kelly, I do want to push back on Chewy, what he said in comparing Luke Fickle. About 50% of people thought it was a bad hire.
Fickle to Wisconsin?
No.
No, Kelly, no, Brian Kelly, Kelly. Kelly LSU.
Oh, yeah. But
well,
no,
some of
not
that
the
was
same for
family.
Fickle. Yeah.
That
yeah.
didn't go over well.
I think also
nor
just
did
his
the
track
L in the dancing in the recruiting room.
I
those
think also
things.
His track record as a human being.
Well, yeah, you know what was making the rounds the other day?
Uh-huh.
That clip from Rob Domofsky's article about yep. Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh parking cars at his house when they were either, you know,
did you see
low
the
level assistants on his staff.
Did you see
oh,
the
I did. I saw. I did see the burnt heads one. Did you hear this? So apparently when Kelly was hired, he accepted the job at LSU while he was on the recruiting trail, and he stepped out of his family's. They were about
he was
to sit down
Notre
for
Dame
dinner.
Still,
yeah,
like he was there
so
on behalf of Notre Dame.
So he's recruiting for Notre Dame. Steps away to take a phone call. On that phone call, accepts the job to go to LSU. comes back and has three helpings of burnt ends from this family's and their recruit, knowing full well he is no longer at Notre Dame and he's just taking advantage of this family for a free meal. And not just one. He's just that, oh, can I have some more?
And if you know anything about burnt ends, pretty expensive. Take a long time. It's usually like when you go to get it at the barbecue restaurant, it's going to be one of the more pricey things you buy.
I don't know anything about burnt ends.
Oh, they're so good. Oh,
the best.
I told you guys.
I thought we were talking about the one time I pushed my sister into a candle. Those were some burnt ends. Let me tell you about my experience with Closets by Design. I've been working with Doug and his team in Mequon for the past few months. They helped design a warm, incredible space for my closet. I know I've told you this. I'd walk into my closet and it would create anxiety for me because it was so packed, so many clothes from all of my years on television, and I just needed some organization. Maybe you've got a closet like that at home, maybe a mudroom, maybe a pantry that could use some attention. Closets by Design can handle it. No obligation, in-home consultations, custom designs, and the best value in the industry. If you are ready to get organized, like I was, call Closets by Design in Mequon and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.